Hey guys, it's Laura here. I just wanted to jump in real quick and do a little intro before we actually get into this episode. It's been a hot minute since Aaron and I have put out an episode. So when we recorded this over the summer, we recorded this with our friend Jason, and at that time he was doing a podcast called AFK Discussions with our buddy Phil, and they have since rebranded and changed their name to Image of the Invisible. So I will put all of their links in the show notes and everything like that, and I'll stop blabbing. All right, let's get into it. Welcome back to Midnight in the Mountains. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing fine, Laura. It's been hot, humid, and disgusting here in Tennessee for the last 10 days or so. You know, 100 degrees, just nasty. And it's probably going to be that way for the next week. But how's things in Pennsylvania?
Just about the same, except about 10 degrees cooler.
Yeah, but it's still disgusting. But 90 or 100, it doesn't matter. It's just nasty.
No, it doesn't matter. But so anyways, we do have a guest with us.
We do?
We have Jason. Yes.
Ooh, I'm excited.
We have Jason from AFK Discussions.
Hey. Hello, podcast. Jason.
What's up? How's it going, guys?
Doing well tonight. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. I'm in Tennessee also. And yes, very hot. I've lived here my whole life. And gosh, it is always so humid and ridiculous in Tennessee.
I kind of feel like this year has been worse than the last couple years. Just for like how long the 100 degree heat has been, but whatever. I mean, we'll just go to the river a little bit more often. That's all I do.
See, I hate rivers and lakes. I don't know. Just something about water that I can't see through. That's not clear. Cause I'm, especially in the area I'm in, there's a lot of lakes that are, you know, murky at best. And I just don't do that. I don't like to get in the water. I can't see even ocean. If it's not clear, I don't do it. I'll wade into it, but I'm not going to get out there and swim. No way.
Yeah. Most of the rivers we go to are fairly shallow. Like, I mean, you know, not even shoulder deep. And maybe like half of them are clear enough to see the bottom. The other half are kind of, they're a little more murky.
Yeah. So sometimes we go to the Smoky Mountains because that's fairly close to where I live. And there's some streams and small rivers up there that are really nice. And they're clear, and I'll get in those, but yeah, mainly lakes I stay away from, especially with all the like stories of all these like brain eating amoebas that are people getting. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that.
I have a buddy, a really good friend of mine. He is worried about alligators and crocodiles because they're coming up from Alabama and stuff like that. They're not quite here because I live in Middle Tennessee. They're not quite here yet, but it's like every time we go down the river, he's like, is that a gator? Is that a gator? Is that a gator? I'm like, not yet. Not here yet.
So they are here. I hate to tell you this. They found one in Norris Lake, which is, I guess, about 30 minutes from me. That's where the famous TVA Norris Dam is. And there are rumors that there are ancient Egyptian ruins at the bottom of that lake. So, yes.
Seriously? I haven't heard that one yet. That's interesting. We go down to the Elk River, which is in Kelso, Tennessee, which is about, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes north of Alabama. Now, that river, it may have gators in it, to be fair. Like, it's probably does. We never saw one, but it probably does. But
so, Lar, what are your feelings on gators?
I'm not gonna mess with them, and if they start coming to Pennsylvania, I'm gonna move further north.
Now,
I mean, you're pretty far north already.
I actually want to move to Maine or somewhere. I could totally move to New England.
No, you got to go North Canada, Manitoba.
If you're gonna get where it's cold, go really cold.
Yeah,
just no, I'm not trying to get that cold.
Full send, just all the way out.
All right. Well, anyways.
Yes.
Do you have an experience from when you were a child?
Oh, I have many experiences from when I was a child. So do you want me to just start?
pick whatever one you want and go with it.
I'm all ears here.
I'll just start off. So I've had like supernatural experiences ever since I can remember, even before I can remember. So my grandmother and my mother used to tell me stories that whenever I was, I don't know, one or two, I was in a high chair eating food or whatever, and they were in the kitchen and they heard like people talking and laughing, but there was no one else in the room. But it was like coming from where I was, like people were around me talking, but there was no one there and they were the only two in the house. So I don't know what to make of that, but that's like the first instance that I heard of paranormal activity happening around me. So I will fast forward because there wasn't much from my early childhood that I remember that was very significant. I remember being scared of a lot of things and like, you know, monsters in the closet or whatever, you know, but I don't remember any specific one thing that I can say, oh, that was a definite, you know, entity or something, right? So whenever I was in middle school, we used to live in a trailer. If you can imagine this land we lived on was in my family, gosh, generations, I would say. So we lived in this trailer on this land. We had an old house that was my great-great-grandfather's and that sat in front of us. It was like dilapidated, you know, it was built in like the 1800s, you know. So eventually my parents tore down that house and built a new house where it stood. And so we moved in and then weird things started happening. For instance, one night I had some friends over to spend the night, and this was in seventh or eighth grade, I think. And one of the kids woke up in the middle of the night and was like, there's a rat sitting on my face. And I'm like, what? You're crazy, right? You know, just go back to sleep. And then he woke up again. He was like crying and was like saying that there's no rats in my house, obviously. And he's like, no, it's here and it's gone now. I don't know. You know, like it disappeared. I was like, what? That's weird. But anyway, so he called his parents to come pick him up because he was so freaked out. So I guess maybe a week or so later, I was in my bedroom and I woke up. And the only way I can describe this is, you know what a tumbleweed looks like? Imagine a tumbleweed, but solid black, and the like vines are moving around each other, almost like Venom from Spider-Man. You know, he's the symbiote goo moving around. So that was hovering right above my face, and it like, you know, terrified me, obviously. Whenever it noticed that I noticed it, it flew away up into the corner of my room and then disappeared. So that became almost a nightly occurrence that happened. I would wake up and I would see this thing floating over my head. It got to the point to where I would swat at it because I was getting mad to the point because it wouldn't let me sleep. It would always go up right into the corner of my room, the same place every single time. Whenever like I would have friends over, it usually wouldn't show up if someone else was there. But that reminded me that kid who said he saw a rat on his face. Maybe it was that like a silhouette, or he just saw the blackness like on his face. Could have been the same thing.
Or it looked like a rat to him. And you know what I mean? Like yeah. It changed its form.
So, but that happened to me until I moved out of my parents' house. That, I mean, like almost nightly. It was crazy. And I always like... always said, oh, you know, maybe it's like a waking dream, or I can't think of, there's another term that I'm looking for. I think waking dream is the best, you know, where you wake up and you're still seeing a dream. But the thing is, being nightly, I don't think it would be a dream like that, you know. Also, I've had friends say, you know, they spend the night and they're like, oh, I saw this dog, translucent dog, walk through the door in your bedroom, but you know, the door's closed. It walked through the door.
Physically through the door.
Yeah. And then disappeared. So a lot of weird things happened in that house.
I would like to ask, like, whenever you swatted at it, did you ever feel anything?
I didn't. It was like, you know, I'd go to swat, and I think it may have moved before I got to swat at it. Laura, I know you listened to Tony's show. So there was an episode maybe 2 years ago. And this is the only other person I've ever heard describe what I saw. So there's a lady from Australia, I wish I could remember the name of the episode, what number it was, but she described almost the same thing that I saw, except she described it much better. She said, imagine if you had like a bowl of water and you dropped ink into it and it would swirl. That's the way she described it. That's almost identical. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what I saw. Except her instant, if you remember the episode,
I think I do.
It would also fly to the corner of her room, but it would change into a person or a shadow entity. And mine never did that. Weird, right?
Have you watched like Harry Potter? Because that makes me think of Malfoy's dad, or whenever the Death Eaters, you know, the evil wizard. Yeah,
separate?
And
yeah.
It looks like the ink, and
yeah,
it makes me think of like a ball of mercury, you know, how it could kind of just go like this, like a ball of metal, yeah, of liquid metal, you know. That's, for whatever reason, that's what kind of pops in my
head. Definitely when I moved to my parents' house, that sort of just stayed there. I didn't experience that again.
When did you move out? Like, how old were you?
I was in my 20s. I stayed there through college. So
I mean, how young were you when you guys built that house?
I was in middle school, maybe 7th, 8th grade.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
That's like 10 years. I mean, roughly 10 years.
I mean, how did you not have a mental breakdown?
I mean, I don't know. I was angry. I would sleep with my lights on all the time. I wouldn't, you know, I mean, I would always have my lights on. I don't know. I mean, that's a good question.
Did you tell anybody? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've told people, and like I told my parents, and you know, they're like, ah, whatever, you know. So let's move on to the next thing.
Hold on. I have more questions. Sorry. I need to go back. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Only child.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, I'd be interested to hear if they had any experiences, because I bet that they probably would have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably. I mean, my parents didn't have any.
That they told you.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, I never really put two and two together until this incident right now. So my dad, he used to hunt Indian artifacts as a hobby. Like, he would go and find arrowheads and all this stuff. And we had tons and tons of Indian artifacts, like pipe pieces that he found. I mean, like all kinds of stuff. And I was like, now maybe that's where this came from.
Oh, yeah. That could definitely be.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Wow. That's really interesting.
It is definitely strange. So I will tell you, recently I haven't had black blob or tumbleweed experience, but I have like seen things. I'll go back to my other story, but I'll just continue with the seeing things real quick. So while we're on that subject. So when I got married, we moved into a house. Actually, we lived in a condo first, and nothing happened in the condo. We had kids. We adopted kids because my wife and I couldn't have kids of our own. So we sold the condo, moved into a subdivision, and I started waking up and seeing figures in the room. The strangest one was I woke up and I saw what I can only describe as, if anybody watches Spider-Man or knows the comic Spider-Man, the Green Goblin. Like the comic version, not the ones from the movie. Well, he wasn't the same color, didn't have the purple hat and stuff. But yeah, that was sitting on the foot of my bed, like legs crossed and just like sitting there. And then it like disappeared. I've seen old men, and I've seen like, I guess, old women, like little, but like really short, maybe 4 feet tall. I'm like standing next to the bed. I'll wake up and they'll be like staring at me. And I don't know what to make of that because the lights are off, but I can just make out like a silhouette, and I just know that they're looking at me, if that makes sense.
Just out of curiosity, do the women possibly wear a white dress?
No, but I will get there, which I think, Laura, I think we talked about it, didn't we, when you were on my show?
Yeah, we did. The woman in white and Frau Perkta.
Yeah.
And a side note, I just looked up this goblin character because I didn't know what it looked like. That is horrifying.
Yeah.
That is gross.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, I will keep going. So after we sold that house, we moved to the one we're in currently. And I've still had the waking up and seeing figures, like still the like little old man and little old lady type entities. The weirdest one, and I've since heard that this may all tie into the lady in white. So I saw what I could only describe as a Bigfoot entity in my room, seriously like huge, standing there towering over me.
Okay.
And so Joel and Tony were talking about this, about the, what's her name? I cannot think of her name. From the biblical, some people call her Lilith? The first wife of, yeah, Lilith, the first wife of Adam. But there's other tie-ins. So apparently that entity can take forms, different forms. And which comes into the lady in white, because she's also been known as the lady in white. One day, whenever I first started the podcast, I was asking my son about things that scared him just for on Instagram, just, you know, for content. And he told me, he was like naming off these things. He was like, you know, werewolves and blah, blah, blah. You know, he said the goat man, you know, just stuff he's heard me talk about. But then he got very specific and he said, you know, like whenever I come upstairs and I go into the kitchen, I see a lady in white standing there with a knife. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Yeah. Can we go back and talk about this?
And then just the other day, this is after you were on the podcast.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. It was after they got off their summer program. So I brought the girls home and he wanted to go with me. I think I went to this used bookstore and he wanted to get ride with me out there. And my daughter had texted me and said something. And then he had my phone and he started messing with her and was like, oh, don't go downstairs. There's, you know, ghosts down there. His room is in the basement. Like we finished the basement and he has, you know, we made two bedrooms down there and stuff in the bonus room. I was like, man, you know, don't mess with her. You know, she's going to be freaked out. And he's like, no, there's a lady in white that's down there. Oh my God. Yeah. I was like, and the thing is he's 11. He hasn't slept in his room for a whole week. I don't think since we've lived in this house, he always comes upstairs and gets in bed with my wife and I at least 2 to 3 times a week.
That's what I was going to say. I'm like, and he sleeps down there?
Yeah. Not all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty intense, especially when the kids are involved. Cause you know, like, you know, what do you do about that?
And, guys, I'm not going to go any further with this than to say, if you're listening to this episode, listen to the confessionals episode that I'm on, because the guest that's there with us, he talks about something about this and it gets weird. So I didn't tell you guys about that before. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh my God.
He had experiences with the same entity. So
what the heck?
Yeah. When he was a kid also.
It followed him through his adult life.
Yeah.
Send me a reminder and I'll make sure I send it to Aaron too.
I will.
Because he's not really a podcast listener. That's kind of why I roped him into this. Because I was like, hey, you're kind of not necessarily a skeptic, but like open-minded, but not necessarily all woo-woo the way I am. Yeah. And I'm sure you are. So I was like, let me get a level head in here.
Yeah, definitely. And that was the dynamic I had with my first co-host, Ty. He was a 100% skeptic. So he had a kid and he's about to turn 1 now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why he kind of stepped away, because he just didn't have enough time to devote to the podcast, which is, you know, 100% understandable.
For sure.
But Ty is less skeptical now than he was when we first started the show, because I'll just go into this now. I was going to save it for later, but I'll go into it now.
Okay.
Well, let me, okay, I can't. Let me talk about one thing first. Okay.
Is this the story you were going to tell before I rudely interrupted you?
Yes. Okay. So my friend Brad, who is a horror author now in LA, who he's part of the Bram Stoker Association of Horror Writers. I mean, he's like pretty well known. He's written a bunch of novels. His most famous one is called Darling. And it's in pre-production right now to be a movie. And it's been stuck in pre-production for a few years now. But yeah, but he is also a ghostwriter for Neil Gaiman.
Oh, okay. I know who that is.
Yeah, he's a
fairly accomplished.
Yeah, my my very famous friend. So he
also name drop.
He also used to write. Yeah, he also used to write for the TV show Castle. I don't know if you remember that, Nathan Fillion.
Yep, yeah. I remember Castle.
Boy, I'm sure glad Aaron's here because I don't have a clue about everything you're talking about.
Yes. But definitely, if you like horror movies, or I mean horror books, check out, it's called Darling, and it by Brad C. Hodson, and it's incredible.
I'll have to put that down. I'm always good for a new book, for sure.
Yeah. Fangoria did a review on it, and they likened his storytelling to Stephen King. Oh. So, yeah.
Well, I know who that is.
High praise. That's really high praise.
And from, you know, Fangoria magazine. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He also did a low budget movie called George Zombie Intervention. It's really good. It's funny. You know, it's really low budget. It's about this guy who gets turned into a zombie and his friends have an intervention for him because he's, you know, eating people. I cannot think of his name, but something Corman, real famous B movie director with Troma films. But anyways, he was in the movie also. But anyways, okay. That's not here there. So Brad.
We love tangents here. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, this was all telling a story leading up to this and to understand where Brad probably got his
inspirations
and stuff. Yeah. So he lived in this house with his grandparents. His mother passed away when he was really young. I think maybe 1 or 2 years old. And he really didn't know his father. And his uncle lived in this house. And this is before I knew Brad, but his grandmother told me the story. And his uncle was into Satanism.
He's a nice person. It's okay.
Yeah, that's true. Very true. But he used to do all this weird stuff in his room. I don't know what all he did. But his grandmother told me that he could fold a paper airplane, could throw it and tell it like go left. And it would, you know, go left to go right. It would turn right, land, it would land. But anyways, he actually became a born again Christian because one night he saw what he could only describe as a demon sitting in the hallway, like this grotesque like creature.
Fire.
So after that, yeah, after that, he renounced everything. But yeah. So fast forward. So I'm at Brad's house, and at this time it was right after high school. So I had gone over there and spent the night a few times, and no one would be in the house. His room was also like downstairs in a basement area. They like made it into like a little apartment for him. And so we were down there, you know, I'd wake up in the middle of the night. No one in the house was awake, and you know, you'd hear people just sound like doing laps upstairs.
Oh my God. You know,
he lived there with his grandparents and no animals. So fast forward to, I guess, right after high school, I guess probably freshman year college, his grandparents bought the house next door. And so they moved there and then gave that house to Brad. And then a few of my other friends moved in there. So me and one of my buddies, we went over there. Brad wasn't home, but he like left a key out. So, you know, we could all get in if we want to, cause it was kind of the hangout house. So we go in there and, all the cabinets in the kitchen are open, like wide open. So we were like, that's weird. So we shut the cabinet doors and we go and, so we used to do Kung Fu, like that was our thing. And he had like, I don't know if you know what a Wing Chun dummy is, but it's the kind you do like the punching and like, you know, the blocking and trapping is what it's called. So we would go downstairs and work out on that. And then we heard the cabinet doors like slam. So we thought somebody was there. We go back upstairs. All the cabinet doors are open again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, the trope, movie trope of, you know, cabinet slamming, but it like that legit happened. Just all kinds of weird stuff. We had another friend that moved in there. And he lived there for like a week and then moved out. And he didn't say why, but I have a feeling, you know, something strange happened.
He saw something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He got the heck out
or heard something or yeah.
But yeah, that it was a weird house. So after Brad got married and he moved to Alabama, and then they moved to LA, but he sold the house to one of our friends, and it's a sad story. So two of our friends live there, and one of the guys who I mean you wouldn't expect it, but he ended up unaliving himself. It was just very unexpected, you know.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. No, I'm sorry to hear that.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, that's that hurts.
Yeah, and the room that he lived in was his uncle's room. So, yeah.
That's not good.
No.
Yeah.
Was that an older house? Like, I mean, when it was constructed. It was
maybe 60s or 70s.
Oh, so not that old of a house. It wasn't like an 1800s farmhouse or something like that. No.
I think Brad's uncle, you know, kind of opened some doors that he shouldn't have.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's
the. Was he ever on the confessionals? Because this sounds.
Yes.
Okay. Then I've heard this, yeah. I think. Yeah. Because I'm like, this sounds so much like that episode that I've heard.
So I was on the confessionals. And I told this story, and then Brad was on there shortly after me. So
maybe I listened to both of you and I didn't even know who I was listening to. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
The big story he told was he worked as a security guard in a old music producer's. It was like some like famous music producer's building or something where they recorded, and the phone would ring and no one would be there. Like when he would walk up front, it would stop and then it would ring in another room. And I can't remember the exact story, but yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. So now I will fast forward to more modern times. So and get back to Ty and why he's a little bit more of a believer now than a skeptic. So I guess this was maybe our third or fourth episode of AFK. We had this guy on who I met on Instagram named Phil.
That sounds familiar too.
Yeah. And I didn't realize he knew Tony at all whenever I first met him. It's so weird. It's weird how we met too. I mean, it was just like, I think I saw like something about like exploring videos or something. And I just messaged him and I was like, hey, do you want to come on and on our podcast? And, you know, it was like we were friends instantly. It is very weird. I guess this may have been a year later. He's like, hey, I'm coming down to Tennessee. I'm going to be on Tony's show. Do you want to go exploring with me? And I'm like, sure. Yeah, let's do it. I'll get time. We'll go do this. And so I started doing a bunch of research and we found this place in the Smoky Mountains called Elkmont. I didn't really know this at the time, but there's a lot of people that go to Elkmont and explore, like do ghost hunting, I should say. Whenever I just found it and I thought it was a cool, like abandoned town, like a ghost town, you know. This was built, I think, in the 1700s. It's one of the first towns in the Smoky Mountains. It's not the first town, but it's one of the first, you know, built. Mm-hmm. So we go up there and we're just having a lot of like strange things happen. We go to this place called Cade's Cove first during the daytime and we're exploring all these like cemeteries and stuff. And Phil's doing the spirit box and we're getting a bunch of answers. Of course, you know, Aaron, I don't know if you've seen Exploring with Phil, but he gets a lot of voices that come through. And I was very skeptical about spirit boxes before I had experience with one. So we're walking around and, you know, the theory of the spirit box is, you know, it switches between radio stations and in between the gray noise, you're supposed to be able to communicate with spirits, right? They'll be able to come through.
Right.
And I always like, well, you know, it's just a radio station. You're just hearing a radio station. You're hearing random
echoes,
just random echoes and like you know, it'll go through because it's going really fast, like, you know, going through like that. And, you know, it's like, well, you know, the odds are pretty high that you're going to get a yes or a no or, you know, something like that in right. between.
Yep.
So we're going through and, you know, we get like names, some other things that were, you know, very more than a coincidence. Right. So I'm like, okay, you know, yeah, maybe there's a little bit more to this. I still wasn't sold. So we go to Elkmont and we get up there around, I guess, right at dark. And we started, you know, going through each house. And this video is actually on YouTube if you guys want to watch. And
I did see part of this one. Now I remember once you started talking. Yeah.
So we're going through each house. Not a lot of activity. And we kind of do a little daytime thing where we walk through and just show the cabins. Then we go back at night and there's just like, it's not really like scary. It's just, you know, it's not, I don't really have a bad feeling at all up there. The only thing, we didn't really get much, but we did get, you know what an SLS camera is? It's a camera that can pick up movement. I don't know exactly. Are you familiar with the Xbox Live?
Yeah.
Or Xbox, they had that camera.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. It was like a motion or something like that, right?
Yeah, it was like map your body. So that's what the SLS is.
Okay.
It's a camera that, you know, can pick up movement somehow. So we got this like little, like about that big person, which is very weird. And so Phil had his REM pod, which if you get close to it, it beeps, right? You're like beep, beep, if you touch the antenna or get around it. So the theory there is, you know, if there's energy, then it comes in contact, it'll beep.
Sure.
This little entity thing was dancing on top of the REM pod. It was very weird.
It was going off the whole time while it was on top of there?
It was not going off. That's the weird thing.
Okay.
But it was, I mean, it would like spin around like in a circle. Like, because we were like, there's nothing in this room that it could map out to make. Because sometimes if you get, it'll find a pattern. It's like, okay, you know, it'll make a figure out of it.
Sure.
But there's nothing. It's, I mean, there's no way it could spin around and like move its little legs. I'm like, that's weird.
That is weird.
Right. And the thing is, it's just an app on my phone. It wasn't like a real high dollar one. It was just, but that's the only time it did it. I mean, if it did it more than that time, something similar, then I would just cough it up to, you know, it's programmed to do that. But it did not.
Interesting.
Very, 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 very weird.
Yeah.
So we go to, there's a cabin. It's kind of behind all the rest of them and it's a little smaller. We go in there and so there's a legend of a witch in the Smoky Mountains called Spearfinger. And it was kind of made, I guess, infamous by the TV show Mountain Monsters. I don't know if you know that. It's kind of a goofy ghost hunting, monster hunting show with like these redneck guys. Yeah, it's over the top, like goofy.
I can imagine. Yeah.
But I heard those guys are like legit, but the show is, you know, more for entertainment.
Yeah.
So anyways, I was telling Phil the story earlier on in the day about how she uses her giant like finger spear thing and would pierce the hearts of kids. That was the legend. And so he has a spirit box and he says, does anyone here know about the Spearfinger witch? And I kid you not. Not a second later, the spirit box says, that's devil worship. I'm like, what? That is, I mean, it's crazy, dude. I mean, yeah, if it was just one word, I mean, a whole sentence, though, is a different thing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's not an echo. That's not a no. gray noise or anything like that.
No, not at all.
I'd never heard of Elkmont before, but like I said, I'm from Middle Tennessee. So, I mean, I've been to Gallagher and stuff like that, but I've never heard of Elkmont. That's why I was looking down when you were talking about it. So I could like, where is this in, you know, what is this about?
Yeah. Okay. Let me fast forward here. I almost know exactly where it's at.
Like I'm leaning in so I can hear better. I have earplug.
I know. I'm going to put
like, oh my God, come on.
That's weird. I went right to it. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm going to pull it back a little bit. Okay. So this is the audio.
Please say which. Yes! Yes!
Holy crap!
Yes!
Did you hear that?
Yes!
Devil worship. That's what I heard. Like,
ooh, that came to Jesus, man. That is devil worship. Do you know anything about that? Do you know anyone that's been accused of that?
They did nothing. Listen. Nothing else after that.
Yeah, that's a little spooky, a little creepy.
So needless to say, I went out and I bought my own. So I have one. So that was trip one to Elkmont.
Now, was Ty with you? Was it the three of you guys?
Yes. And that's why I said he's more of a believer now than he was going in.
Yeah, I can see that.
There were some other things we heard, like some knocking stuff and other things that weren't explainable. But it gets better. I guess a year later from there, Phil's like, hey, I'm coming back down. So Phil comes back down. We decide to go back to Elkmont. Well, first we went to another place that I had a weird experience at with my kids and my wife. And that experience was bizarre, to say the least. So it's a birding park, right? So it's made for bird watching.
I almost thought you said it was a burning park, like it was on fire. And I was like,
yeah.
Where are those places? But sorry, yeah, go ahead.
Usually I have a really thick Southern accent, so yeah.
Close enough. Birding.
Yeah. You know, in the South, sometimes we leave letters out.
Yeah, we just slur it all together and hope it comes out right.
It's a burden park.
Burden park. I like burden parks.
So a birding park. So we go there, you know, we're hiking around. I took the spirit box with me. So I heard it's a weird place. There's a house there and it's been on a few YouTube videos, but it's not been on a bunch because the thing that's this strange about this park is they don't let anyone in after dark. And it has signs posted that says that we will prosecute you to the full extent of the law if you come here after dark. So, yeah, there's that. So this is the daytime, obviously, when I'm there with my family. And there's this old house which people have seen entities in. And so we're there and I'm on the porch and I'm having the spirit box and I'm talking about portals and Bigfoot and Dogman because there's rumors that there's portals to other dimensions in this area, like, you know, in all of Tennessee, like the Smoky Mountains, especially. And I get this voice that says monsters on the spirit box. The thing is, my phone didn't, I was recording with my phone and it didn't record. So I was like, crap. And then we're leaving. I'm like, okay, let's go, guys. It said monsters. I don't want to stick around here. So I get my family. We're leaving. And my daughter's like, there's somebody in the window upstairs and you can't get upstairs. It's blocked off. And I'm like, what, where? And I look and then my other daughter's like, yeah, I saw it too. There's a shadow. They walked in front of the window. And so I was like, okay, we're leaving. Let's get out of here. I don't want, you know, my kids, you know, being a part of that. So my wife and kids walk on in front of me, like, maybe, I don't know distance. I can't judge distances well. Maybe 20 yards, I would say, in front of me. And I'm like, I'm going to get the spirit box out and I'm going to ask again. So I started talking again about portals and stuff. And then a little girl's voice, and I'm not kidding you, it had a cadence to it. It wasn't just monsters, you know, or something. It was like, monsters, like that, like slow. And it freaked me out because I don't know if you guys know, but there's a lot of theories that like evil or demonic entities show up as little kids. So I also have that, I think, on my Instagram page. And I will, if you guys want to hear it, I can pull it up.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Awesome.
I was listening to I'll vamp for you while you're looking for that, but I was listening to a podcast today. It's a fictional podcast, like a bunch of stories. It all goes in orders. And I've listened to this so many times over. It's called Ghosts in the Burbs. It's super popular. And I love it because the one line that they use in the podcast is the little blonde ghost girl isn't really always the little blonde ghost girl, which is so true.
And the little blonde ghost girl is the real devil.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of funny, like in Middle Tennessee, like we did a podcast, it's been a little while ago, about like local stories here in Middle Tennessee. And when I was going through there, like there's not, I mean, there's the Bell Witch, of course. I mean, that's always the big one. And you know, everybody knows about that one. But like I was looking for some other ones, you know, so that we could just share and whatnot. And I think the one that I really came up with is over in Chapel Hill, which is, I don't know, like south of Nashville, like between Nashville and Columbia, that there's some haunted railroad tracks there that you could see at nighttime. And, you know, we did that story. But like anything else, like there's not a whole lot here in Middle Tennessee. But if you get locally, like I grew up in Columbia, Tennessee, there was all the stories about, you know, this cemetery, the house that's in there, or, you know, you go out to this plot of land. But like, I don't think anybody's really done like a big thing about some of the more local stuff that's in Middle. And maybe there is, maybe I just don't know the right people. I mean, that's always a possibility, but
yeah,
there's not a lot online about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I know there's in there like a tunnel or something that's supposed to be like really spooky over there. I don't know. Maybe it's somewhere else in Tennessee.
Could be. Reason,
I know the in what is that between here and Nashville?
In Cookeville.
Cookeville. Which I
think is, yeah. They have a haunted like canoe thing in the in October there. It's on the Caney Fork River. And supposedly they, you know, they did a lot of things there. There was a lot of like prohibition things, and quite a few kids got drowned in that river and things like that. But I've never actually been, but I've saw it a couple times. It's just kind of sometimes a little cool to go down the Caney in October, because the Caney Fork's a fairly cold river anyways. And I just don't know about going down in the middle of October down the river in a canoe when it's that cold.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking of, was it the Black Mountain? Is that what it's called? Or
I don't remember what it's called, to be fair. I just know it's over in that area, right? By like between here and Knoxville.
Yeah. I want to say there's a park called Black Mountain over there that I've heard like a lot of like witchcraft and stuff goes on in those woods.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that one up because I haven't heard about that one. Oh, wait a minute. I think my buddy was telling me about that because I don't know if that's the same place, but he was looking. So my buddy wants to open a ski resort up.
Okay.
In Tennessee. I don't know why, but he wants to open one up here. And there has been a couple, like back in the 70s, there was a couple that were opened up. One kind of south of me and then one over towards Cookeville. And the one over towards Cookeville, all the buildings are still standing there. It's been abandoned and whatever, but supposedly they built it on an Indian burial ground. And so, yeah, well, me and you have talked about this one before. I think it may not made it to podcast, but I think we just like, you know, just chatting back and forth. But yeah, when he got to looking at it, supposedly it was, you know, they had all kinds of weird things happen there, and they were just, and then they found out that it was supposedly an Indian burial ground. And so it was abandoned, and like the ski lift and stuff is still there, which, you know, it doesn't snow enough over there to do anything. But, so there are some things in Middle Tennessee, but there, it just seems like they're, you know, outside the Bell Witch, there's not like a whole lot of nationally known things, you know, in Middle Tennessee.
Yeah. If you want to, the big thing is more West Tennessee is the Land Between the Lakes and the Dogman encounter that happened there. That's the Beast of the LBL is what it's called.
The Beast of the LBL. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's between the lakes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say LBL goes between, it's partly in Tennessee and then the rest is in Kentucky, right?
Yes. I'm still trying to find this video. You guys, I mean, seriously, you have to see it.
I did run across something on Reddit the other day, the Tennessee subreddit, that there is a sanitarium, and I think it was in East Tennessee, now that I think about it.
Were you talking about this the other day, Jason?
Does it start with an R?
No, there's Brushy Mountain, but that's a penitentiary.
This is a sanitarium that you could actually spend the night in. Like they were offering, and it's supposed to be one of the more haunted ones.
Okay, there's the South Pittsburgh Hospital.
That's it. Yep, and that's in Chattanooga, actually. I know where that is.
Yeah, it's outside Chattanooga, yeah.
Yep, I buy fireworks down there sometimes. There's a really weird guy down there that has really good fireworks, but that's neither here nor there.
He's always the weird guy with fireworks, right?
Oh, this guy's a character, man. I tell you, he is a character.
I think I may have found the video, guys. Here we go. Ready or not?
Totally. That's weird. When I was sitting on the porch, I heard someone say monsters. Can you say monsters again if there's monsters in the area? Oh, God.
Did you guys hear it?
I could hear it. Yep.
Yeah, I'll play one more time just in case.
Again, if there's monsters in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
That's a little... Yeah, it's weird.
You could hear the voices, like it's going through the channels, and then monsters.
Mm-hmm.
It almost sounds like it's saying like something after it, too. Like,
oh, really?
Monsters in here or something. I don't know, but my hearing's like not that great when it comes to stuff.
It'd probably
like
be a whole lot easier to hear it in person. Like, we were listening on your phone, because, you know, transmitted over there, it's a lot of stat. I mean, but yeah, I could hear the monsters.
Yeah,
I'll send you a.
It's very weird. Mm-hmm. So we went there, and with Phil, and we had a few things, but not really much of anything. A few hits on the spirit box. Then we decided to go back to Elkmont, and this is one of the strangest encounters I've ever had. And after watching the videos after the fact, there's actually more stuff that happened that we didn't realize was going on. So we go into the house, the little one that we went in before, and with the, you know, the witch, that's devil worship. So nothing really happened there. Then we went to the cabin in front of it, and when we walked in there, it was like someone like muffled all the sound, like it went dead quiet. And the cabins are not soundproof, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's gaps in the walls, but for some reason it was like dead quiet in there, like almost deafening, the silence. It was so weird. So we just kind of explored around a little bit. Nothing that was the big thing there. Then we walked out, we sat on the curb and talked a little bit, you know. Then we decided to go, because we have friends, this paranormal group called Smokey's Unforgotten Spirits, and they told us to go to cabin 13, which is ironically it's cabin 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go in there, and walking up, I like can't breathe. It's like something like a pressure on my chest. And I'm like, hold up, Phil. I can't breathe. I got to catch my breath. And also my camera died. Yeah.
Was that like a regular, like a cell phone camera or like a handheld?
GoPro, okay. And it had an external battery plugged into
sure.
it.
Sure.
So we go in, and it's just like this overwhelming feeling of just dread is, I guess how I could only way I could explain it. And then Phil and I both, we started getting these like cold chills, like we had goosebumps. And Phil, the way Phil takes it is, so we're both Christians, right? And Phil it kind of felt this like a weird feeling in our stomachs, right? And Phil said that, you know, maybe this is like the Holy Spirit trying to protect us. That's why we're getting like these chills. I don't know. I don't really disagree with him, but I'm still kind of on the fence about that. So we leave the cabin and then it kind of all goes away, all that whole feeling. So then, you know, like, cause we're smart, we're like, let's go back to the cabin where, you know, it was like dead silent in there.
Now, can I ask something? Was this at nighttime that you guys were there, or was this, it wasn't nighttime? Okay. Around
10 o'clock at night. Yeah.
Okay.
So we go back into the cabin where everything was quiet, and, it wasn't quiet in there anymore. It felt normal. But then we heard on the cabin behind us, we could hear what sounded like footsteps walking on the front porch there. And if you watch the video, it's on YouTube. If you watch it, you can see me go like make this in Phil's filming. He's like, yeah, you know, and he puts his fingers in front of the cameras. Like, I was like, yeah, I fell over there. Which was weird, but we also caught, like growls and like, I can't remember if it's a howl or a Bigfoot sound. I don't know exactly. I can't remember exactly what it was, but we caught that on the audio, which we didn't hear with our, you know, like in the moment we didn't hear it, but it picked it up on the recording.
Sure.
We decide, hey, okay, well, I think we've had enough here. I'm going to text my buddies from because they go there all the time, the Smokies and Forgotten Spirits. And they're like, hey, you guys want to go back up there tomorrow night? And we're like, yeah, sure. So after we left there, we went to this other place called Bud Ogle Cabin. And it really, not really anything weird happened there. We saw some, they're called coy wolves. It's like a cross between a wolf and a dog or a coyote. But they look like wolves. So we saw that. That was kind of weird just because, you know, you don't usually see them. But sure. Another weird thing is at Bud Ogle Cabin, I've never experienced this before, but the forest echoes and it's weird. Have you ever been in the forest and heard like it's, you know, like your voice bouncing back off of a cave or something? That's what it sounds like, but there's no cave there. It's just forest. And that's, yeah, it's weird.
Is it an old forest? Like a really old one or?
Yeah, Smoky Mountains.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't, that's very strange, but that's the only thing that happened at Bud Ogle Cabin. So we decided to go back to Elkmont the next night and meet up with the guys. They had a bunch more equipment. So we went to the small cabin where we heard the footsteps and we put a REM pod down. They had a bunch of like motion lights and they put them all over the place. One on the outside, some on the inside. And so we just, you know, hung out in there pretty much. And then the REM pod goes off, you know, and then motion lights started coming on. This is all on video too. So that was, you know, I was like, dude, this is very weird. And they're like, you haven't experienced anything yet. Wait till I get to cabin 13. And I was like, well, you know, we kind of already experienced it last night. So, yeah, you know, we had the motion lights and stuff go off there. And then they're like, okay, let's go over here. And, you know, Phil and I were kind of hesitant to go back in there. But when we went back in, it didn't feel like it did the night before. There was not a heaviness. So there's this back in the back. There is a, I guess it's a bedroom is what I would, because there's like a kitchen, like a living room area, then like a bedroom off to the side. And so they put, he said, we get a lot of activity in here. So they put the REM pod, they have the music boxes that are activated by I don't know how they're activated. Sure. Motion, yeah. So they had that in there and then they had the motion lights.
Motion.
In that one room. And almost instantly, the REM pod goes off, then the music box goes off, and then the lights start going off. Like all, if one thing goes off, you can say that's a fluke, oh, but man. All three going off, that That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's a time to go home.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, we did stay for a while.
Oh no, you got to stay for that. Then, come on.
So we're there. And it's just, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that we did. One of the guys did the Estes method where, you know, you blindfold, you put headphones on. And we did that where, you know, he answers questions with the spirit box is hooked in the headphones. So he's listening to the spirit box and, you know, saying what he's hearing come through the spirit box. So there's, you know, it's less contaminated audio, you know, less open to interpretation, I guess, from everyone. You got one sole person relaying the info. So, yeah, so we're there. We did all that. And then I'm trying to think who it was. One of the guys, Brooks. It was Brooks. Yeah. That he was like in this kitchen area is kind of just diagonal from us. And he's in there. And then I think Phil walks up behind him. And he's like, he goes, dude, ah. And he turns his hand over and he has scratches down his arm.
That's one angry spirit. Yeah,
like legit scratches. And that's probably the most, I mean, after I've told you all these stories that's happened to me, this is probably the most, not really, I wasn't really scared, but the most intense, I guess, feeling I've ever had over the period of two nights in a place that I've ever experienced. Definitely, definitely creepy. Yeah.
Are there any, old legends or ghost stories that are associated with that place, like from, you know, back when it was a railroad town or, you know, whatever they were doing back then, any that you know of anyways?
So the story of Elkmont is it started off as a lumberjack town. I think I want to say the 1700s or early 1800s, maybe. And then it later became during, I think the Civil War. Some of the soldiers stayed there, I think. I'm trying to make sure I'm getting all my info right. I may be mistaken. I know that one of the cabins, there was a sergeant or something. There was also a doctor that lived in one of those cabins. Then it became like almost like a resort, like a hunting lodge almost, or like wealthy people. And they built a hotel there, the end of this, it's like one street. You have cabins on both sides. And they built like this resort, and then it just they closed it down and it got dilapidated. And it's torn down now. It's gone completely. But there's a campground right next to it, like the, you know, active campground for the Smokies, which is actually, it's called Elkmont. Yeah. Whenever the lumberjacks were there, it had a different name. It was called Daisy Town was the name of it. And there is a cemetery on the hill above Elkmont.
Yeah. So there's plenty of history behind that place.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. It definitely sounds very intense, like especially, you know, the last part of the story you told with, you know, everything going off at the same time. Because I don't really have a whole lot of supernatural experience. I've never really saw anything that was like, I don't really understand this. I don't really get this, but I'm a big believer. Like you said, you know, anything could set that off. Two things, coincidence, but three things, four things going off at the same time. That's definitely, you know, sets off the radar a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And they're not going off simultaneously. They're one at a time. You know, it's not. So the REM pod, and then there's the music box goes off and they're going off at the same time. And then it's like something walks over and, you know, the motion detector goes on. Yeah. So it's definitely, definitely weird. It's like something was doing laps in there, you know. And then we heard something walking on the roof, but that was just an animal. We figured that out.
That was a squirrel that was all freaked out, just kind of giving you a little bit extra.
However, Brooks, the guy I was telling you about, he was in that cabin once and he said it sounded like someone ran and jumped onto the roof. And ran two-legged across the roof and then jumped off.
Very intense. So you told that story to tell us why that you thought that Ty was way less skeptical.
Yeah.
Because he was there for all that, right?
He was there for the first experience, not the second
one. Okay.
Yeah. He was supposed to be there for the second one, but he had to cancel because his baby and stuff. His wife was like, no, you're staying home, you know, pretty much.
That's a pretty fair reason to stay home.
Definitely a weird place. And I haven't even got to the voodoo whistle yet.
I was going to add to that how you said you guys were feeling like nauseous, sick to your stomach, right? I've noticed that a few times when it comes to paranormal activity, and I've kind of noted in my head that usually when I'm nauseous, it means that it's something like not good, lower level, demonic. I'm not saying it's a demon, but you know what it's something that's not good. And it's funny that when you were talking about how you guys went into the one cabin and you said the silence was like so loud. When we were at Mid Orange, we went to this one dorm area and we walked to the back of it where they kind of had all these little like sectional cubicles off. I guess that they would do projects there and stuff. And we were standing in the middle of it and we were trying to do an EVP session. I had my recorder out and I was like, my ears are ringing so badly. And then everybody else agreed. They're like, my ears are ringing so loudly that the silence is so loud. And the one guy was like, it almost feels like you have like your finger or something stuck in your ear. It's just like this like palpable pressure that you could feel. That's exactly what we had experienced there. I wonder what that is.
I don't know. I mean, it's not good, whatever it is.
No, I don't think so either.
So something that I heard, I've heard it a few times now. You know about the missing 411 phenomenon where people go missing? Well, the, gosh, what's the name? Dave Pilates.
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? Pilates? Pilates? I can't.
People, I've heard it say different. Dave Pilates.
Yeah. Pilates. Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. So he has this theory, or he tells people, if you're in the forest, not in the cabin like I was. He's like, if you're in a forest and everything goes dead quiet, sit down and don't move because something's going to happen. And he thinks that that has something to do with people going missing, the silence, which is weird. I mean.
Yeah.
The silence could be, you know, like, you know, who knows, a portal to another dimension could be opening up because there's a lot of talk about that recently. Well, throughout history, there's a lot of like people who have had quote unquote time slips where they have seen, you know, like there's these two ladies visited medieval England and like had tea with someone and then they came back. It's, you know, weird stuff like that, you know, so I don't know what if these people are disappearing or if they're somehow, you know, going through this area where time is thinned and they're, you know, traveling to another dimension. Who knows what's going on, but the silence is a telltale sign that something weird is happening, to say the least. So
have you guys ever heard of an echoic chamber?
Is that, I know there, is that the chamber where it's like so quiet that you can't stay in there for more than, can't remember.
It's not very long. So basically, it's a chamber made to absorb every echo. And it's so uncomfortable for a human being to be in there because we're surrounded by sounds all the time that most people can't stay in there. I don't know the exact time, but let's just say it's not very long, a couple minutes, because at that point, all you can hear is your own heartbeat and the blood rushing through your head and through your neck. And that's what the only thing you could hear, because the chamber is designed in such a way to absorb all the echoes. And so while you guys are talking about, you know, having this weird like echoey or, you know, no echoes, no nothing, it makes me think of like one of those chambers that whatever it is just absorbing everything, you know, all the noises you're putting out, all the noises from the outside, almost like a wall basically.
Yeah
What is the point of those chambers? I've never even heard of that.
So the best one, they use a lot of them to test sound equipment so that you can get the actual sound and without the echoes or anything like that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So like microphones and things like that.
I've actually experienced that to an extent, not to the extent of like completely dead silent. I used to play in a band. And so I've spent a lot of time in the recording studio and the vocal booth is like that. You go in there and it's so quiet. You can hear your heartbeat. It's so crazy. Yeah.
This is kind of a different one, but I work in a factory and you have to get your hearing tested once a year. And they have the big van that comes out front. And when you go into the room, it's the same way. You know, you put your headphones on and it's so quiet in there that all you can hear is like, doo-doo, 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 doo-doo. And they want you to hear, you know, raise your hand from the smallest little nothing, but you can hear it because it's just so quiet up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I just remembered that because I've had ear problems since I was like a little kid, and I used to have to do those all the time. And then recently I just went back to a ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I had to do one of those again, and it was bringing back like these horrible flashbacks because they are very, they're uncomfortable to sit in.
Yeah, they are. So I have one more story for you guys.
I'm all ears. Hit me with it.
This is a doozy. Oh. This is the story of the African voodoo whistle. Okay. It sounds weird, but I mean, what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say it reminds me of like the start of a TV show. Stay tuned for the amazing story of the, which I'm not trying to make fun, but you know, like just that that's what it sounds like to me.
I usually do that on our podcast. I'll do like this. Amazing story of
the African voodoo whistle.
Yeah.
Got the soundboard and everything. Perfect. Tonight.
Chef's kiss.
Okay. So my mother-in-law, she went to Africa. She went with my uncle-in-law, so my wife's uncle. And so she brought back my kids some things from Africa, right? Well, my kids don't remember getting this certain object, and I don't remember her giving it to them. But one day I was cleaning up my bedroom, and then on my, I guess, what would you call that? Dresser, I guess, chest of drawers, whatever you call it. Yeah. There was this like whistle thing laying there, and I was like, what? What in the world is that? Actually, I have a picture I can show. And I was like, man, that's weird. And I showed it to my wife, and she's like, the funny thing is I didn't say this on our podcast, but the first thing she said, well, blow it. And I'm like, I'm not blowing that thing.
Where'd this come from?
You know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Blow this weird whistle.
Yeah, I know. So we asked my son, and he said he'd never seen it. My daughters said they'd never seen it. So we, you know, started doing research, and the only thing we could find was that it was a voodoo whistle. And then later on, I found that it was a specific kind. It was an African voodoo whistle. So we were trying to figure out where this came from. And then my mother-in-law's like, oh, I brought that back from Africa for them. And I'm like, what? That's weird. So leading up to finding the whistle, we had all kinds of strange things start happening in our house. So it shows up on my dresser. And my wife said that she had been feeling the bed vibrate. So I snore really bad, right? So I'm a nice husband. So I'll, you know, stay up and watch TV until she goes to sleep. Then I'll come to bed after she's asleep so I don't disturb her. Cause if I get in the bed and I start snoring, she's not going to be able to fall asleep, right?
Fair. Yep. Yep.
So she said the bed had been vibrating. She was, you know, thought that was weird. She didn't really say anything until after the whistle showed up. And she was like, that's, you know, maybe that's what's causing all this. And I had been experiencing things too, and I wasn't sharing it with her. So come to find out, we had both been experiencing a similar thing. So we had been feeling what I can only describe is some sort of creature, bipedal, walking on our bed, like in the middle of the night. Like I'd wake up and she'd wake up, but we didn't communicate with each other because we're terrified, right?
Sure.
So, but it felt like stick legs, like two stick legs, like walking on the bed. And it was very, very creepy. I mean, it happened pretty frequently, not every night, but it happened frequently. So, you know, we started communicating, oh, did you see this? Have you felt this? And I was like, oh, I felt the same thing. I thought it was a cat. And she's like, no, I've checked. There's no cats in the room. Then one night I heard her nightstand open and close slowly. And I thought one of our kids was in the room, you know, like trying to sneak money or something, you know, like coins that they'll dig through and find, you know, find our change. There's nobody in the room. Then we started putting two and two together with this voodoo whistle thing. You know, we did all the research and found out it's a voodoo whistle. And so I took the whistle and I buried it and in an undisclosed location. And we haven't had any activity since.
Without salt.
Yeah, without salt. So, yeah, I'm a bad person. But, I forgot to tell you. I didn't tell you this either. When all the voodoo whistles things were going on, the whole family, we were watching a movie in the living room. all of our cats were there with us because we first thought it was a cat. Oh. And we heard like footsteps coming up our stairs. And that was weird. And our cat, his name's T'Challa. Yep, yep. He's named after the Black Panther. Because he looks like a Black Panther. The kids wanted to name him Black Panther. And I was like, no, I don't want to call. Come here, Black Panther. I don't want to, you know.
Way too long of a name. Yeah.
And then he's got a sister who is actually his sister cat. We have the mom and two babies. So his sister's name, Shuri, you know, because T'Challa's sister.
Yep, sure.
And then the mom's Coco. So she doesn't fit with the, you know, the.
No, but it's fine. So I have a question, or I have a couple questions, actually. So the first one was, when you went to go look for information on the voodoo whistle, did you find anything of note, like maybe possibly what part of Africa or how old it could be or like it, just any kind of information like that?
I found that they use whistles in ceremonies and stuff. I can't remember. I think my mother-in-law went to Tanzania, if I'm not mistaken. But I mean, it has a very distinctive look to it. It has this, so it's a very, very handmade. It has these, you know, these like burning, like wood burning. I don't know what they are because I can't place it. It's looks almost like a weeping willow to me on one side. I'll try to look it up. I even did an image search and I couldn't find anything like it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It does kind of look like a willow, but
that's the other side.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting looking.
Yeah.
I guess I was imagining it was going to be like something that looked like a darker wood, like it had been stained or something like that. But, huh, interesting. You know, the symbolism of what they would put on those things would be, could make for an interesting conversation. Like, because they obviously put those two symbols on there for a particular reason. And I would be very interested in knowing what those reasons were for those. It almost looked like a flower on the other side. It was kind of hard to see, but
it's almost a flower, but it's almost the like the Red Hot Chili Peppers logo. If you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Yep.
Which is actually an ancient symbol because it's used in like the pharmacy logo.
Sure. Sure.
You know, that's the same blue logo. Yeah.
You know, when I hear that story, what you experience is very interesting as well, but like the physical object is kind of interesting too, just to see like, you know, why are they, what was the symbolism behind it, you know, because obviously it was important to somebody at some point to burn that in there. And that those are look fairly intricate, like that, like pretty intricate looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the theory is that I've heard from, not necessarily about that exact whistle, is that like voodoo practitioners or practitioners of like dark arts, they'll, make objects and attach spirits to them and then sell them to unsuspecting, you know, tourists. This is the only thing I can find. Like there's, it's very similar. So there's these African symbols. You probably can't see it's too bright. Yeah. Crap. But yeah, there's a very similar symbol. Can you see it now? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like, so that is kind of similar, but I don't see the other one.
Right, right.
And
that's
not that's not exact, but look like similar, like they're in the same family, but I can't find the exact ones. Because I've done a bunch of research trying to find stuff.
We need to know somebody that practices the dark arts that would
maybe
they're pretty nice people.
You know, I mean, they're nice people.
Oh god.
I bet you we could go down to New Orleans and we could find somebody on Bourbon Street that would be able to tell us exactly what that means.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because a lot of the voodoo and stuff is, you know, practiced in New Orleans. I had a friend, he was Haitian, and he told me a couple stories like from when he lived in Haiti. It was just some crazy stuff. His dad was actually, I don't know if he still is, but he was a diplomat from Haiti for the U.S. or from Haiti to the U.S. And so that's how they came over here. But yeah.
Well, hopefully he's still in the U.S. because I hear Haiti's in a very bad spot these days.
Yeah, he's still here. He's actually, he's a professor at University of Tennessee.
Oh, very nice. Yeah, way better here than it is there because that place is quite scary nowadays. All the best to him.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess I guess that's the end of my stories.
I mean, those are some really good stories. I want to say I'm very appreciative of you of sharing them with us, which I know Laura's might have heard a couple of them, but I really enjoyed hearing that, and thank you for that.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to share. And there are, I mean, I know some stories my grandmother told me and stuff, but those are secondhand, and I don't really remember them all. But, you know, this is why I have a podcast, because I literally can just talk.
I have stories, and I will share.
Yeah. And I'm like, my wife hates it, because, like, we'll go to buy a couch, and then I'll end up telling the salesperson my whole life story, you know? And that's true. That's happened for real. I was like, you know, so my kids are adopted. My wife and I couldn't have kids, and we adopted them. The two are here, you know, and they're like, he's like, I don't care what you tell me.
What kind of couch do you want, buddy? That's all we're going to talk about. Yeah. I mean, I can't empathize. I sell plants at the nursery. And so, like, I can't empathize. Like, you just start talking, and you're like, before you know it, you know, you're in this 30-minute long conversation over some hydrangeas, and it's turned into like, oh, well, I spent the summer in Europe, or blah, blah, blah. You know, like, it just sometimes that happens that way.
Yeah, definitely. But guys, thanks for having me on. It was awesome. I'm glad to get on here and talk to you guys. I know Laura and I've heard her on my show a couple of times, and it's always good to talk to you. And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah, I definitely want you to come back and tell us some stories from your grandmother or anybody that's older, because I love those stories, because if we don't talk about them, then they're lost to time.
Yep.
Yeah, there's, see, haunted house, there's a headless railway worker, there's all kinds of stuff, yeah.
It's funny you say the headless railway worker. That's the one from Chapel Hill.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep, he was, I think it was, man, I don't remember if it was pre or post-Civil War. It had to have been post-Civil War. But anyways, but yeah, that was one of them. That's funny.
That's a real quick story. I'll just tell you.
Yes, we get one more.
So during World War II, my grandfather was deployed. He was an MP in the Army. And so my great aunt, her husband was also in the war. So they moved in together, and they worked at a steel factory or somewhere. Like, I think it was a steel factory, because, you know, all the men, you know, the Rosie the Riveter, you know, all the women had to do the men's jobs, you know. So they would walk to work, and they would come home at around dusk. And so they would always walk the railroad tracks. And they said, they were walking, and they saw a man walking towards them wearing, like, looks like the old train engineers and stuff. They wear overalls and the striped overalls. Sure. So it looked like that coming too close to him. But the closer they got, they noticed he didn't have a head. The way she tells it, I can't remember, like, how the distance is, you know. It was from me to you, and all of a sudden he just went down in the railroad, you know. So, didn't have no head, no plump, didn't have plum, no head.
Plum, no head.
Yeah.
The real accent. Yes. Now, just out of curiosity, did they live in Tennessee then, or were they somewhere else? In Tennessee? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was in Tennessee. It was in, oh, you know, maybe it was over close to you.
I mean, it sounds like a very familiar story.
Yeah, because, because they did move around. I know my grandfather was stationed. He was in Germany, but he was also stationed out in somewhere in Tennessee. It was like, I think it was in Middle Tennessee.
It was probably Clarksville.
That does not sound, I mean, I know Clarksville, but that does not sound familiar.
Because I was trying to think of like a steel mill that was located in Middle Tennessee. But I mean, to be fair, if that was during World War II, I mean, we're talking 80 years ago. I mean, there's no telling what was. Now, to be fair, I mean, most of Middle Tennessee back then was rural. I mean, it was farmland, you know.
I drove through it. Tullahoma, that's where it was.
You're kidding me. Well, Tullahoma is not that close to Chapel Hill, but I am very familiar with Tullahoma. Yeah, they're probably about at least an hour. Yeah.
Okay. But I want to say that took place in the Knoxville area.
That would make sense. There's probably way more railroads there, like Knoxville, Nashville, you know, the northern part of the state versus the southern part for sure.
Yeah.
Because Tullahoma does have a fairly big air base. I forget what it's called, but.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my last story.
All right, Jason. Well, it was very nice to meet you. I thoroughly enjoyed myself tonight. And thank you for coming out here and sharing your stories with us. And we look forward to seeing you again.
Yeah, definitely. It was awesome. And yeah, we'll definitely do this again sometime.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Have a great night, everyone.
Peace.